Hello, and welcome to Enabled, a weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. It's designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, and this week I am practicing proper social distancing. I'm talking with you from my home. So thank you for joining me in my dining room. The question, do you have a guide dog? Do you know someone who has one? Have you ever thought about getting a guide dog? In this program, I will share information about guide dogs from a different point of view. Now, I really wish this could be from a guide dog's point of view, but instead, you will hear 10 secrets of seeing eye dog trainers. Before we start, though, I have an important note. The term seeing eye dog is a copyrighted phrase from a company called the Seeing Eye. It's located in Morristown, New Jersey. That is the company you'll be hearing about today. The Seeing Eye Trainers, who train the name brand, if you will, Seeing Eye Dogs. Dogs from other training organizations are properly referred to as guide dogs or dog guides. So here we go, 10 secrets of Seeing Eye Dog Trainers. This information came from a website called mentalfloss.com. And it's via the Blind New World page on Facebook. The title, once again, 10 Secrets of Seeing Eye Dog Trainers. This was written by Michelle Debzak. It was published in February of the year 2020. To start out with, there's a picture. Two instructors are shown approaching an intersection with two dogs in harnesses. The instructors have bright blue uniform shirts and khaki pants. Each one is bending from the waist to scratch their dog under the chin. There's a black lab on the left and a German shepherd on the right. Founded in 1929, the Seeing Eye is a nonprofit in Morristown, New Jersey that trains guide dogs to help their blind owners navigate the world safely. In order to make sure each dog is ready for all the obstacles and challenges that come with leading the visually impaired, instructors train them in both real-world settings and simulations at the Seeing Eye campus. It is a system that has worked for over 90 years. Here's a quote. It's the oldest guide dog school, and we've been honing this very specific process of training a dog to do very specific tasks. So this is from Brian O'Neill, a guide dog mobility instructor with the Seeing Eye for 9 years, and he is telling this to the Mental Floss website. He finishes his quote by saying, "We have a roadmap." Seeing Eye dogs are venerated. In January of 2020, New Jersey proclaimed them the official state dog. And legally, no guide dog can even be called a Seeing Eye dog unless it graduated from this school itself. Though the dogs that come out of the school have garnered plenty of attention, the dedicated instructors who prepare them for working life are less well known. We spoke with three trainers from the Seeing Eye about why certain breeds make great guide dogs, also how they keep their owners safe from low-hanging branches, and whether or not they can read cross signals. Here's a spoiler, they can't. Question number one, or statement number one, it takes years of apprentice work to become a Seeing Eye instructor. Being a Seeing Eye instructor isn't a volunteer position anyone can sign up for. It's a full-time job. If you meet the basic requirements, such as having a 4-year bachelor's degree, you can apply to become an instructor. Once you make it through the application process, you go through a 3-year apprenticeship program in order to become an official trainer. The apprenticeship includes classes and exams, as well as hands-on training with dogs and students. The Seeing Eye's name for blind people preparing to become guide dog owners. That's what they call students. The Seeing Eye's name for blind people who are preparing to become guide dog owners. This work by an instructor doesn't become any less intense when apprentices graduate to become full-fledged instructors. From 7:45 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., they train, exercise, and care for 8 dogs total, 4 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. If you aren't ready to commit to working for the Seeing Eye full-time, you can volunteer to become a puppy raiser and foster future guide dogs in your own home. The second point in this article of 10 Secrets of Seeing Eye Dog Trainers, number two, is Seeing Eye Dog Instructors Also Train the Dog Owners. The dogs and their trainers aren't the only ones working hard at the seeing eye. Before a blind person can take a guide dog home, they must live on the campus and go through weeks of training to learn all the intricacies of working with their dog, including navigation and bonding. Here's a quote from O'Neill. A student is someone who has applied to our school and has been accepted to our program, and we have flown them here or provided travel for them to come here, O'Neill explains. We match them with a dog, and over the period of 27 days, we teach them how to safely and effectively work with this dog, and vice versa. Once they've completed the program, they become graduates. But to get there, the instructors, students, and their dogs have to put in long hours, namely 27 days. Here's a quote, class is emotionally and physically exhausting, says Sarah Indano, who has been in the apprenticeship program for 2.5 years, and she's telling this to the website. She continues, it's like boot camp to really train these people for everything they need in such a limited amount of time. Next, we have a picture that shows the entrance to the Seeing Eye campus. A green street sign that says Seeing Eye Way is at the end of a flower-lined driveway that goes between impressive brick grates. The next point they make, the Seeing Eye instructors only work with dogs bred by the organization. The Seeing Eye breeds its own dogs at a center in Chester, New Jersey, and each dog must meet a strict sense of requirements to become a part of the breeding program. Here's a quote. All the dogs are medically tested, and their temperaments are also tested, says Ruth Ann Dewey, a guide dog mobility instructor at the Seeing Eye for more than 6 years. She continues, the best of the best are selected to go into that breeding program. Even with proper pedigree, not every dog the organization breeds is fit to be a guide animal. At 7 weeks old, dogs are sent to live with volunteers called puppy raisers. The puppy raisers provide them with care and teach them basic commands. When the dogs are about 14 months old, they receive medical testing to determine if they are fit enough to train to be guide dogs. From there, the training, which O'Neill says involves a lot of repetition and consistency, the training lasts for 4 months. Point number four that they make, instructors typically work with a handful of choice breeds. There's a picture here, too. It shows in a bright purple jacket, Ruth Ann Dewey, who just gave us a quote. It's a snowy day, and she is bending down with her arm around the shoulders of her trainee, a yellow lab wearing a red harness. It's cold out. The dog has fashionable and functional gray boots on its feet. Seeing eye dogs almost always belong to the following groups of dogs: Labrador Retrievers, Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds, or any mix of those breeds. Both physically and personality-wise, these breeds produce the best dogs for the job. Here's a quote, they are working breeds, O'Neill says. They have a long history of work and working alongside humans in varying capacities. So it comes down to their drive to work as well as their incredible temperament. This drive to work often translates to a desire to please their humans. As O'Neill states, trainers can only teach dogs so much, and an animal's need to keep their own owner happy is what ultimately allows them to do their job well. He says they want to get the praise from that person. They want to figure out, what does this person want me to do? Because I'll do it. This is what the dog is asking himself. These breeds also fit the physical requirements for a guide animal. They are big enough to lead a person down the street or block them from traffic, but at the same time, small enough to fit on public transportation or even beneath an office desk. Now, the main breeds that they just mentioned as being appropriate in their terms, Labrador Retrievers, Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds are any mix of those breeds. The next section is called Praise is Crucial During the Training Process. Seeing-eyed dogs may not know the directions to the supermarket, but they're trained to learn other tasks that enable their owners to move through their environments with confidence and security. These include stopping short of curbs, moving around objects, and blocking people from walking in front of vehicles. Dogs learn these skills through positive reinforcement, as much as it takes to make the behaviors second nature. Here's a quote. When the dog does something right, we are showering it with love and affection, telling it it did a great job. And if it didn't do a great job, we're telling it, no, we don't do it that way. And we always go back and give them the chance to be successful. This is according to O'Neill. He continues, that's important because if we just said no and moved on, I could see animals being discouraged by that. The next section is called Seeing Eye Instructors Can't Teach Dogs to Read Street Signs. And once again, these are secrets of the Seeing Eye Dog Trainers. So, they can't read street signs, huh? A seeing-eye dog can navigate obstacles on a sidewalk or stop a person from stumbling off a curb, but seeing-eye instructors cannot train them to replace a GPS. Here's a quote from Ruth Ann Dewey. I get asked all the time how the dog can read the stoplight and know that green means go and red means stop. I always explain to people that it is not the dog that decides when to cross the street. The dog doesn't know how to get to the grocery store. All that falls on the person, the owner. The blind person has to be able to cross the street safely. The next point is the seeing eye, the place now, has escalators and Priuses on campus to simulate real-world obstacles. Now just a note here, they mentioned the word Priuses, and the car, called a Prius, is a hybrid made by Toyota, and it has no engine noises. It's a very quiet car. So once again, the headline says, the seeing eye has escalators and Priuses on campus to simulate real-world obstacles. The more advanced stages of seeing eye dog training takes place in urban areas, starting at the center of Morristown, New Jersey, and culminating in trips to New York City. But before the dogs are ready to enter the real world, trainers find ways to recreate those environments on the campus. Here's a quote. We have our own maintenance department and mechanic that is in charge of our own fleet of vehicles, O'Neill says. These cars are used to prepare dogs for the type of traffic they'll encounter when guiding their owners in public. We also have Priuses, so we can make sure the dogs are learning to steer clear of cars that are silent as well. The campus also has plenty of indoor obstacles designed for training, like staircases, and even an escalator that's housed on the grounds. The next point they make is number 8. Some obstacles require some surprising training equipment. Training dogs to look for objects in front of it, like cars or pedestrians, is fairly straightforward. Making sure they are aware of obstacles above the ground level poses more of a challenge to instructors. For these lessons, trainers use some unexpected equipment. We have obstacle course with overhead pool noodles that stick out to make sure the dogs are watching out for the top part of the person too, according to O'Neill. Instructors don't know what size a dog owner will be during the training process, but that hasn't been a problem so far. Incredibly, the dogs are able to figure out the height and width of their humans on their own. If you are an instructor that's really short, but that dog goes to a person who's really tall, that dog quickly learns and adapts that they have to look out for obstacles that are much higher. To me, that's just one of the most amazing parts of the job, how much the dogs adapt and do on their own that we don't teach them and can't teach them. This is a quote from O'Neill again. In the 9th point they make here, seeing eye apprentices take classes on the human eye to learn more about visual impairments. This is number 9. Every instructor's apprenticeship includes courses on dogs and dog training, but they also take classes to learn about the visual issues faced by the students. Here's a quote, "I am currently studying for my second exam, which is on the human eye and diseases and disorders of the eye and optic nerve," Indano says. This is Sarah Indano. She says, she likens these classes to a college course and says it gives us the basis of the language we use to communicate with our students. We are reminded that not only do our students see us as dog professionals, but they also see us as vision professionals as well. This level of understanding is made even greater during Blindfold Week, which is exactly what it sounds like. She says, "We wear a completely dark blindfold for 1 week, and we live with the students for the first week of class," Indano says. She continues, "We're given some prep on how to effectively use a cane for travel for the first 2 days of class, and are taught how to cross streets, how to judge traffic, and how to keep ourselves safe. The apprentices are even paired with a dog during Blindfold Week, effectively putting them through the same training as the students." And she ends this section with a quote and says, "It gives you a lot of insight into what these students are going through." The next item, number 10, this is accompanied by a picture of Sarah Indano bending down next to a black lab that she's been training. Now, to me, this picture looks like she was just starting to reach down and hug the dog to pose for the picture, when the dog tipped his head up suddenly and is giving her a big old sloppy kiss right on her face. She is laughing. This section is called Seeing Eye Instructors Don't Prepare Dogs to Work 24/7. Seeing Eye Dogs Don't Have the Time to Chase Squirrels, Accept Pets from Strangers, or Sniff Trash Cans When They're on the Job. But that doesn't mean they never get to enjoy being a regular dog. People think these dogs don't ever get a break, Sarah Indano says. They put on their business suits, which for them is their harness, and they're at work. When they go home, their business suit comes off, and they get to be a dog that their person can snuggle and give pets to and play fetch with. They live and love to work for their owners, and then they get to go home and get even more love. Now, after hearing this program, if you've decided to find out what a guide dog is all about, I have some contact information for you. Since this program originates in Rochester, New York, the closest ones to us would be the following four. First on the list, the one you just heard about, from Morristown, New Jersey, is called the Seeing Eye. It's just west of New York City. The phone number there is area code 793-539-4425. And next in our area is in Cassville, New York, in the Utica Rome area. This organization is called Freedom Guide Dogs for the Blind. Their number is 315-822-5132. And another one in Smithtown, New York, this is on Long Island. It's called Guide Dog Foundation for the Blind. Their number is area code 631-930-9000. And there's one also in Yorktown Heights, New York, which is just north of New York City. This one is called Guiding Eyes for the Blind. The area code is 914-245-4024. Now, there are some guide dog places in other parts of the United States. We have one in Bloomfield, Connecticut, which is called the Fidelco Guide Dog Foundation. You can look these up on your own if you're in the Bloomfield, Connecticut area. Fidelco, F-I-D-E-L-C-O, Fidelco Guide Dog Foundation. There's one in a town called Boring, Oregon. It's spelled B-O-R-I-N-G, Boring, Oregon. And it's also located in San Rafael, California. This is called Guide Dogs for the Blind. There's one in Sylmar, California, which is called Guide Dogs of America. There's one in Palm Springs, California, called Guide Dogs of the Desert. In San Antonio, Texas, if you're looking for a guide dog, you could go to a place called Guide Dogs of Texas in San Antonio. There's one in Washington, Kansas. This one is called KSDS. I do not know what those initials stand for. KSDS in Washington, Kansas. If you live in Rochester, Michigan, there is an organization called Leader Dogs for the Blind. Leader Dogs for the Blind. If you're near Aberdeen, North Carolina, there's Mira Foundation USA, M-I-R-A. Mira Foundation USA in Aberdeen, North Carolina. If you're in the Midwest in Madison, Wisconsin, there's an organization called OccuPaws Guide Dog Association. It's spelled O-C-C-U-P-A-W-S, OccuPaws Guide Dog Association in Madison, Wisconsin. And in Palmetto, Florida, there's something called the Southeastern Guide Dogs. And finally, for our friends in Canada, here are some guide dog sources for you to pursue. In, let's see, the Vancouver area, in Delta, British Columbia, there's an organization called British Columbia and Alberta Guide Dog Services. In Ottawa, Ontario, actually quite near Rochester, there is something called Canadian Guide Dogs for the Blind. In Edmonton, Alberta, there is called an organization Dogs with Wings. I love that name, Dogs with Wings, in Edmonton, Alberta. In Oakville, Ontario, right in the Toronto area, there's an organization called Lions Foundation of Canada Dog Guides. And then we have a town south of Montreal that's called St. Madeleine in Quebec. And that is also an organization called Mira Foundation, M-I-R-A Foundation. So that's what we have from the website called mentalfloss.com, 10 Secrets of Seeing Eye Dog Trainers. Now I promised you some stories, some good guide dog stories. So this one came from the UK with some stories for you, from guidedogs.org/UK. There's one called Stacy and Toffee. If I was a dog, I would be Toffee. Two peas in a pod, and we would do anything for each other. This is a quote from Stacy, who is the owner of the guide dog Toffee. At 21 years old, she had her whole life future ahead of her. Fiercely independent, she planned to buy a car and move out of her parents' house to start her adult life. But 3 months before qualifying as a nurse, she became unwell. With failing kidneys and doctors unable to diagnose what was happening, her sight also failed. And quite suddenly, Stacy completely lost her central vision. Stacy endured a battle with her illness for 3 months in a hospital before she was finally discharged. I felt all my happiness and my bubbliness go away, Stacy says. I couldn't go out by myself. Stacy had always begged her mom for a puppy, and as soon as she lost her sight, she was determined to get her independence back. So she applied for a guide dog straight away. She met Toffee shortly after her release from the hospital, and she says, "As soon as he came trotting up my driveway, I knew he was my dog," Stacy laughed. It just felt normal. On the day her friends graduated as nurses, the day that Stacy would have graduated too, she qualified as a guide dog owner and started her new life with Toffee. Stacy now lives a completely normal life. She works full-time, spends her weekends with friends and family, and is busy planning for the future. Despite sometimes navigating unpredictable environments, Stacy knows that Toffee will always protect her, even when it gets dark and she feels anxious. She says, "Toffee looks at me to tell me that I can do it. He is my ray of sunshine," Stacy told us. Toffee will soon be doing his biggest job yet, walking Stacy down the aisle. After her partner Karen proposed on a beach in Portugal, Stacy has given Toffee the important role of being a ring bearer at her upcoming wedding. Next we have Priya and Sydney. Having a guide dog is a life-changing experience, and she says, "I'm phenomenally grateful to guide dogs for enabling me to be more independent." Priya has dealt with constant sight loss challenges throughout her life. It began in primary school when her teachers noticed she couldn't read the blackboard, and she was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, which particularly affected her central vision. She received limited support in school and taught herself strategies to get through each day. By the time she became a teenager, Priya's general vision had started deteriorating too. She struggled to make eye contact with people across a room, which affected her confidence. After her daughter Lucy was born, Priya faced the next challenge of adjusting to life as a new mom with a vision impairment. She felt extremely anxious leaving the house by herself with a pram, and her increased sight loss was making it harder to safely judge distances. So when Lucy started walking, this is her little girl, when Lucy started walking, Priya decided it was time to learn how to use a long cane. She had spent her life up to that point trying to manage and conceal her vision impairment, and she had to come to terms with her new identity of being a blind person using a cane. She says, "I think it was the hardest time for me emotionally, but I knew I had to do this for my daughter's sake." And once she became comfortable with a cane, Priya applied for a guide dog. She said, "When I was partnered with my first dog, whose name is Wilf, W-I-L-F, it was love at first sight," she fondly remembered. "I remember feeling quite nervous about the training and being able to trust a guide dog to guide me around safely. Wilf came a much-loved member of the family and stayed with them after he retired. Priya and her current guide dog, Sydney, have been together for 5 years and developed a strong bond. Having a guide dog has enabled her to take on the role of managing a counseling service. They walk to work, to the park, use public transportation across London, go to yoga class and dance classes." And she says, "It's quite incredible what Sydney can do for me." Well, in today's program, you learned a lot of details about what goes into training a seeing eye dog, a guide dog from the company called Seeing Eye Dogs. To end the program, I have a quote for you to think about. "A house is never lonely where a loving dog awaits." Who first said this? I really don't know, but it's all over the website called Pinterest. It's used as a caption on many adorable pictures of dogs. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled on WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York, from my home right now. I'm Nancy Zimmer, and I hope you'll join me again next week from my home for more updates, information, and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at reachoutradio.org.